Welcome to Pap Talk, a podcast from Contemporary OBGYN, where we deliver expert insight, commentary, and more on emerging topics and trends to doctors in women's health.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today. My name is Morgan Petronelli with Contemporary OBGYN.
And my name is Allison Cowan, and I am a part-time OBGYN hospitalist, and I'm the head of medical affairs for MIRV.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. So what kind of trends do we see pop up in the women's health space for 2022?
Yeah, thanks so much for the opportunity to talk with you today, Morgan. I think that unfortunately, 2022 was a bit of a tough year in some ways in terms of the data that we've seen coming out for pregnancy health specifically, which is one of my main focuses, of course, as an OB hospitalist and as in my role at MIRV. And what we saw happen in 2022 was first some concerning data continuing to come out regarding pregnancy health and maternal mortality. So I'm sure you've seen the news recently. The CDC released a report showing us that over 80% of pregnancy-related deaths in this country are actually preventable. So not only have we seen this rise in maternal mortality over the last several years, and we are, by some standards, the worst among industrialized countries in terms of our maternal mortality rates, but in addition, we're finding that actually most of these deaths are completely preventable. So I think there is a renewed energy towards doing everything possible to reduce inequities in care, to drive better innovation for pregnancy health, and then also to make sure that we're optimizing the way in which we deliver care. One example also that I think is really of note is the rise in hypertensive disorders of pregnancy that we've seen. So there was a huge paper that came out at the beginning of 2022, and that showed us that of over 50 million pregnancies that they analyzed, they took a look back from 2007 till 2019, and they showed that hypertensive disorders of pregnancy actually doubled in this country over that time frame. And we've seen preeclampsia and other hypertensive disorders be in the news because of COVID as well. So, you know, I think knowing that we were on really weak footing in terms of hypertensive disorders of pregnancy, even going into the pandemic, then we experienced this unprecedented pandemic that incidentally has caused the risk of preeclampsia to rise by about 60%. You know, I think we really have a focus on cardiovascular disease and hypertensive disorders of pregnancy, also layering on top of that the fact that diseases related to cardiovascular disease and hypertension in pregnancy are the leading cause of pregnancy-related mortality. So it all kind of ties together. Unfortunately, not great news for the year, but I think we certainly have good direction moving forward for what we need to be focusing on, which is really prevention of preeclampsia, focusing on optimizing care for hypertension in pregnancy, and you know, just trying to move the needle in whatever way possible to get our maternal mortality rate down.
Absolutely. And off of that, what kind of trends do you think will pop up in 2023?
Really great question. I think I'm really excited for the future of 2023 and beyond. So certainly when we think about innovation and where that's going, I think for the first time in obstetrics, we actually have hope for meaningful innovation in terms of prediction of some of these complications in pregnancy that are underlying drivers of maternal morbidity and mortality. And so we've seen this before in other fields, but haven't yet sort of caught up to that in the pregnancy space. But I think we finally have an opportunity to do so over the next year and several years to come. So when I think about oncology, for example, and we think about the personalization in care that has really been a shift over the last 20 to 30 years, you know, oncologists used to have much more limited treatment options, and we used to have a much more limited ability to actually predict how a given patient would respond to a given therapy. And due to advancements in technology, we've seen such improvements over time in that area. And it's really time for obstetrics to have a similar type of shift, where we've been trying for years and years to predict some of these complications in pregnancy, and then ultimately, hopefully, prevent them. And we haven't been successful thus far, really, because we know these disorders are complex and multifactorial. But moving forward, we now have technological advancements that are really making possible the ability to predict some of these complications like preeclampsia. So due to advancements in genomics and machine learning, that's what has made Mirabe's technology possible through the RNA platform to actually predict preeclampsia, preterm birth, and we hope eventually other complications in pregnancy. So we know that already from the studies we've published in Nature and the American Journal of Obstetrics and Gynecology, we have seen that we can predict about 75% of preeclampsia before it happens and about 76% of preterm birth. So I think the sky is really the limit in terms of the advancements and innovation that we'll see in 2023 and beyond. And we need that innovation to really drive towards improving the outcomes. Building on that too, I think that we are really poised to see a shift in the way that care is delivered. So we know that there is demand from patients to have more access to remote monitoring and more access to telehealth. We've certainly seen a rise in investment in this space in terms of looking at the array of digital health and telehealth companies that have come about, but we've also seen sort of the everyday gynecologist incorporate that into their practice. It's really hard to ever talk about a silver lining of COVID because it has been absolutely devastating on so many levels. But the one silver lining of COVID that I would mention is the rise of telehealth and the more widespread implementation of it. In my office, as in many offices across the country, we pivoted literally overnight. We were doing no telehealth in our office before COVID hit. And then when the pandemic happened in March of 2020, we had to find a different solution to give our patients access to care and to keep everyone safe. So we pivoted, we implemented telehealth, and fortunately payers came on board to improve reimbursement for providers as well, making that really feasible. And now as the pandemic has gone on, I think we have less objective need from the pandemic standpoint to maintain telehealth, but we're seeing ongoing demand for it. We know that patients find it convenient. The early data shows us that in the OB literature, outcomes are just as good, if not better, and patient satisfaction is higher with incorporating telehealth. So what we've already seen this year in 2022 was that ACOG announced the Redesigning Prenatal Care Initiative, I believe in July of this year. That's a really exciting initiative to drive towards that personalization of care. We know that the prenatal visit schedule hasn't changed since 1930, which is unbelievable when you think about how much technology has changed. So it's time to really revamp how we deliver prenatal care. With the advancements we've seen in telehealth and remote patient monitoring, we now have the tools we need to do that. And I think with ACOG providing us with some formal recommendations about how to personalize care and how to optimize that for the patient journey, we'll be able to really implement it in a systematic and widespread fashion. So I'm looking forward to seeing what ACOG's recommendations are for how we should best serve our patients. I think that what we know they have already said they're planning to do is recommend an early personalized assessment in pregnancy. And so they're going to recommend that you meet with patients early in pregnancy to, of course, review their medical history as you always would when you, you know, do a new patient intake. You're always going to review what their medical risk factors are and tailor a care plan accordingly. But you know, that's where some of the early screenings, like what Mirabe's technology will be able to provide too, can help to sort of risk stratify patients to say, for this group of patients, you're at a little higher risk, so you might need a different care plan. And for other patients, you're at a little lower risk, and so we can give you these options for your care plan. But in addition, not just taking into account the medical risk, they're recommending taking into account the social risk. So what barriers do patients have for coming in? We know that many patients face transportation barriers. We know from the March of Dimes report that came out, I think last week, that you know, over 30% of US counties are maternity care deserts, indicating that there's no OB provider and no hospital or birth center providing birth services in that county. So we know many women are traveling long distances to get their care. They may have childcare issues, transportation issues, issues with getting time off from work. And so if we actually systematically evaluate what the barriers are, we can also partner with the patient to come up with a good care plan. So what they're going to recommend is probably a combination of telehealth, remote patient monitoring, and in-person visits that is really right-sized for that unique patient. Some patients might not want to do any telehealth, and that they will always have that option. They can come in person for every visit. But for other patients, they may want to do everything possible remotely. And with remote patient monitoring, for example, blood pressure monitoring, we also know that that gives us the flexibility to monitor patients more frequently than we could with routine prenatal visits. So when we really think about, you know, if we have a patient we're concerned about developing preeclampsia or high blood pressure in pregnancy, or say she already has chronic hypertension, we are probably going to want her to monitor her blood pressure more often than just when she would have her prenatal visit. So that remote patient monitoring component can be so helpful. In fact, there was a review that was out earlier this year as well that showed that remote patient blood pressure monitoring in pregnancy actually reduced inductions, it reduced antepartum admissions, and it reduced preeclampsia by 50%. So I think there's so much, you know, unfortunately, lots of room for improvement, but also a lot of room for hope in terms of innovation in the way that we deliver care.
Absolutely. And ultimately, where do you see the future of women's health going?
I mean, I hope that in some of what I've said, you're starting to see the vision of where it's really going. I think, you know, if you think about that patient coming in, you're going to want to give her that personalized plan. So in the future, I would love to see a world where a patient comes in with her new pregnancy, we're really assessing her medical risks in terms of her past medical history. We may be doing some testing as technologies become more available to predict complications in pregnancy. And then based on those predictions, as well as the social determinants of health and that formal assessment that I talked about too, taking all of those together to really partner with our patients and say, what do you want your pregnancy health journey to look like? And here are the potential risks and challenges I see ahead. And here's how we're going to mitigate all of those. So really walking a patient through that journey so that for patients who want to have some of their care delivered from home, they can do so. You know, in a perfect world, I would have every patient at high risk of preeclampsia knowing the signs and symptoms of preeclampsia and when to call. We, of course, try to achieve that with our patients today, but the data tell us that we're not doing a good enough job at prescribing aspirin. We're not doing a good enough job at getting patient adherence to aspirin. We're not doing a good enough job at making sure patients are aware of when they need to call us. So in that perfect world, I would imagine that patients are doing remote blood pressure monitoring if they know that they're at increased risk, and then they're calling us or they're knowing the appropriate next step to notify us if their blood pressure is high. You know, I have had the experience in my practice where I might get a portal message, which is often delayed by even days before it comes to me directly because it gets triaged through the nursing system. And I know that's a really common setup. So I've had patients who I have thought that, you know, we've talked about preeclampsia, they should be aware of it, for example, but I'll get an urgent, severely elevated blood pressure, and I don't see that until 3 days after they send the message. So my vision for the future, I think our goal that we should all be driving towards is making sure that patients have all the tools that they need and that providers have all the tools they need to really optimize that pregnancy journey uniquely for each patient, and to make sure that we've done everything possible to make sure that we're right-sizing prenatal care for each woman individually and preventing those outcomes from happening.
Thanks for listening to this episode of PAP Talk. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen.